unless somebody just really needs it. The next is the executive items, and action item number one is approval of employment contracts with our general counsel. That has been provided to each of you along with a copy of that contract. Does anyone have any questions or comments about that? If not, I'd entertain a motion to approve executive item number one, to approve the employment agreement between West Kentucky University and Andrea P. Anderson.
So moved.
Have a motion, have a second.
Second.
All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Opposed, no. Motion carries.
Mr. Chairman, may I say one thing?
Certainly.
Okay, since we're not taking a break. So I want to thank Andrea for her, not just her commitment, but her trust in me keeping my word. And so, Andrea, many people don't know this. I wanted to make sure we kept Andrea in the general counsel's office 4 years ago. That created a transition with the sitting general counsel so that Andrea had a role here as our general counsel. At that time, you'll remember that was in the spring of COVID. There was a great deal of uncertainty, and I was unable to respond to an external offer that was higher than what we were paying. And I just want to thank Andrea for wanting to be here at the university and taking me at my word that we would have an opportunity to negotiate at some point in the future, that point being now. And also want to commend her for several things. Number one, she has saved the university millions of dollars in judgments during the past 4 years by being successful as a litigator and as leading that effort. Number two, we've reduced by at least 50% the number of cases against the institution that are pending. And number three, she's managed to proactively work in such a way that we do not find ourselves as a subject of additional litigation. Doing much better than we had before. And then the last thing I would say is I'm thankful for the cooling off and cautious manner in which the general counsel's office operates, and that we have no drama any longer, which makes for a much better working environment, not just for me, but the entire institution. So, Andrew, congratulations and thank you.
We're happy to have you. Happy to have you for another 4 years. The second executive item is approval of athletic employment contract with our head basketball coach. That likewise is contained in your material, and I'm sure you'll have an opportunity to review this contract between West Kentucky University and Hank Palona. Does anyone have any questions or comments about that?
I'd like to, I've wondered what happens, where the money goes that we got from, I guess, Oklahoma State. We had a buyout.
Yes.
Do we actually get money?
Yes.
From them? Do they write us a check?
Yes, they do.
And I would assume that goes in the athletic budget.
Yes.
So, in a way, we're getting our coach's salary paid for some time.
It's one way of looking at it.
I think $2 million was what I read. Is that right?
Right.
Yeah. Good.
Reading Bell, I will tell you, I was with a donor on Tuesday evening who maintains a connection to Coach Lutz, and he called this donor and wanted to make sure that I was thankful for the $2 million he helped contribute to athletics. So we lost our coach, those dollars will meet some needed needs, certainly within basketball.
Yeah, I think it highlights the importance of how we construct those contracts, and I'm glad whoever constructed that contract, it was more than what I was expecting.
Any other questions or comments before I ask for a motion? I'll entertain a motion then that we approve the athletic employment agreement from West Kentucky University at Hank Palona.
So moved.
Have a motion, a second.
Second.
Have a motion and second. All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Any opposed? Motion carries. We have an action item, or information item, which is our legislative update. And Jennifer, we would love to hear from you at this time.
So Jennifer, before you start, what's your new title?
Assistant Vice President of Government and External Relations.
So we've not made a big deal out of this during the session because we were focused on the work that we have to do in Frankfurt. I want to thank Jennifer and for the past 4 years of work, but also and more. We have managed in the course of the past two budget sessions to bring into the university nearly $500 million in additional capital investment and funds to help support our fiscal plan. In recognition of that work, I promoted Jennifer in January of this year that you all approved in the personnel action report to an assistant vice president position, and continues to be well-deserved and well-earned, and thank you for another amazing session.
Thank you. With Dean Katz being here, and I started in January of 2009 in this position, if I can just take just a second, and there was no money. There was nothing. So it's kind of a wonderful time to start this job because I just heard no all the time. So I just thought, well, if I ever hear yes, it's going to be great. You know. And so I was looking back, went through the past budgets, and the last, probably my first capital project that we received as a university with me being employed here was in 2014. And that was Ogden College Hall, which was supposed to be a renovation, ended up having to be a new building. And then there was nothing until the College of Business building. And so sitting here and listening to all of that, it's very rewarding hearing the construction going on out there, and that I had a little bit of hand in that, because from the time I started here in 2009, the conversation was about we need a new College of Business building. So so I told the president, okay, it's been about 10 years. In between those, we got one building, and about 10 years later, we got another one. So don't expect anything for another 10 years. And so, which takes me to our update, which is now I'm like, oh, great. Now he's going to expect this every budget. So we'll see what we do. I did send you all a legislative update. You've all seen that. I sent it out to the campus as well. So a lot of what I'm going to say is a little redundant. You've already heard it. But the General Assembly did something a little different this year. So in the past, there was always just the executive branch budget, and every bit of funding that the university would receive was in that budget. This year, because there was such a substantial budget surplus in the Budget Reserve Trust Fund, they decided to do an additional appropriations bill, which were a lot of these little one-offs for different things. And so we received, that was House Bill 1, so what we received to the university was an additional $10 million for operations at the Innovation Campus, which is critical. When I get to later on in this report, you'll understand why that is such a benefit. So I think that they're very excited down there to figure out what all we're going to do with that. But that was the big thing in there for WKU. That was the only thing that we as a university specifically received in House Bill 1. House Bill 6 was the executive branch budget. So that's the one that we're used to seeing that has our appropriations from the state and then all the different line items that fall under the university. And so WKU received a 4.5% inflationary increase to our base appropriation in the first year. And then that remained flat in the second year. So instead of an additional appropriation in the second year, it's just that 4.5%. So it just remains in the second year. As I know you all have heard, we got a lovely surprise with the increase to our state fire and tornado insurance. And so the General Assembly did fund the increase of, it was almost $2.2 million that we were going to have to come up with. So the General Assembly did fund that increase for us. Several years ago, they started funding the Kentucky Mezzanet. That funding remained unchanged, so they still receive $1.75 million. The performance funding pool was increased to $105 million in the first year and $115 million in the second year. So in 22, they did their first pool of funds that we call asset preservation. In 22, the 22 budget, we had to match that at 15%. This year, they did another round of asset preservation funds, and we received about $28.5 million each year of the biennium with no match from the university. So that is just completely state funds, which was wonderful. And then, kind of the cherry on the top, is we received the largest capital appropriations we've ever received, with $160 million in state bonds to build a new academic complex. So...
to make clear, those are state bonds.
Those are state bonds.
State
it's not us.
Is going to pay off.
The state is going to pay that. Actually, a legislator misspoke the other day at an event I was at and said, "Yeah, those are agency bonds." I'm like, "Oh gosh, please, please tell me there's no media here because that's going to be a problem." It is not. The state is paying for that building, not us. So that was pretty much the budget. It was a great budget. It was fun to get to make those phone calls, and really fun to text Dean Bosta. She's really fun to text with when you're giving her good news. So, I don't get much good news, so thank you. So then just a couple other things. Senate Bill 1 it creates an endowed research fund, basically. This was Senator Robert Stivers, this was his bill. He wanted the universities working together more on research projects. So basically to be able to use any of the funds that will be in this, you have to partner with another university on whatever your research project is. And so as those regs are created and we learn more about that, we'll see what areas we have where we can, you know, partner on some of those things. So Senate Bill 191, this was a kind of a cleanup to the performance funding statute. We had to make a few more technical changes to that, as I don't know if you all saw the Kentucky Attorney General did provide an opinion about using URM in that model. The Attorney General said, "Nah, probably shouldn't be doing that." And so the General Assembly, when they passed this bill, they did remove URM from the statute. And I'm completely drawing a blank on what it changed to.
The dollars that were allocated are now going to go to low income
and then first gen. Yeah, so it'll be divided up there. And so the work group, the performance funding work group, will get back together and they will look at all of this again and they will figure out exactly what that needs to look like. This was kind of a last minute change to the model. And so we said, okay, but let us have the opportunity to revisit that and make sure that what we're doing is what needs to be in the model. So then, if you all recall, I had talked about a couple bills that were out there, one in the House, one in the Senate, that had to do with WKU offering PhD programs. And then I also spoke about Senate Joint Resolution 170, which was a study on these post-baccalaureate programs that the comprehensive universities want to offer. So the two bills, House Bill 630 and Senate Bill 121, which were the PhDs at WKU, did not pass. What did pass was Senate Joint Resolution 170. And so that requires the Council on Post-Secondary Education to contract with a third party to do a study for all the comprehensive universities that want to offer any kind of post-baccalaureate programs to say, this is what we want. And you have to do a lot of justification that has to go along with that. And so we've just received the first email about be looking for another email that we're going to contact you about setting something up. So that's where we are on that. this was kind of the compromise, because I think once we started talking a little bit, and other universities started saying, well, hang on, we want this, and hang on, we want this, and they started saying, like, okay, let's pump the brakes for a second. Let's make sure that the way that we're going to make these investments in the universities is what we need for the economy and workforce of Kentucky. So can't really argue with that. So maybe the most important one was Senate Resolution 276, which confirmed Regent Nichols to the board. So I always start kind of sweating a little bit, because I always do those things on the last day of session when they're waiting on bills to come back and forth. I'm like, please tell me you have this taken care of. So those were the big ones that passed. I do want to just bring up a couple that did not pass that I know were very important to a lot of members of the campus. So House Bill 228, which was the one relating to post-secondary education employment. You know, we talked about this at the beginning of session, right? Everyone's calling it the tenure bill. That did not pass. It was heard in committee early in session for a just discussion only, and they never brought it back up for a vote. Then talked about House Bill 630, Senate Bill 6, which was the, everyone was calling the DEI bill. That did not pass. It did pass the Senate, went over to the House. The House amended that bill and basically wiped it and put their version of it, which was House Bill 9, on the bill. We went back over to the Senate for concurrence or non-concurrence, and the Senate never took it back up. So it just died. Please don't assume that means it's never going to show its face again, because I'm sure it will. So those are the big ones. That was pretty much it. So it was a good session overall, and it's good to be home and have a little bit of a breather before I have my next first meeting on the next legislative session, May 17th. So, do you have any questions?
Thank you so much for that report. Does anybody have any comments or questions that they'd like to address to Ms. Smith?
Thanks. Somebody did a lot of work. And thank you, whoever.
Thank you. Awesome. I enjoy it.
Thank you so much. Thank you so much. We appreciate that.
Absolutely.
I think it's important at our last board meeting to kind of review some of the highlights of the academic 2023-2024 year. You have been provided with this information, but for those who are on Zoom or for the public at large who may be watching this, I think it's important that we go over these and recognize some of the achievements that our faculty and staff have met during this year. As far as our students are concerned, we celebrate the first increase in overall degree-seeking enrollment in 13 years, growing more than 2.4% compared to the fall of 2022. We had the most academically talented incoming class in WKU history, boasting a 3.49 average GPA. Our 78% first to second year student retention is the highest in recorded university history. An astounding 85.4% of our fall undergraduate degree seeking students returned this spring, the highest percentage since WKU began tracking this data. 83.9% of our overall underrepresented minority population returned, making this group the highest percentage since the 2010-11 academic year. Our first-time, first-year students returned at a rate of 91.6%, again, up a significant percentage point increase. Low-income students returned at a rate of 90%, an increase of nearly 5% percentage points since 2019. 88.5% of the first percent of the first-time first-year students who identified as first-gen students returned, an increase of 2 percentage points from last year and 4.2 percentage point increase since 2019. First-time, first-year students who participated in the Living Learning Center returned at a rate of 94.8% compared to 90.4% among the non-LLC first-time, first-year students. I think that's an impressive number there.
along with a lot of these others, as being impressive numbers. WKU will celebrate nearly 3,000 graduates and recognize our top scholars during our upcoming commencement tonight and graduation tomorrow. We reached more than 500 first-gen students through talented programming, and now have 85 faculty and staff members engaged in this work. This year, WKU provided 10,167 students with university scholarships totaling more than $62 million. As far as our research is concerned, we have a collaborative research program wherein a dozen WKU students are joined with faculty members in a NASA-funded project that we all heard about and are familiar with. WKU's total research and development expenditures are nearly double the next closest comprehensive institution in the Commonwealth. As far as our athletics is concerned, WKU football finished 8-5 overall and won the 2023 famous Toastery Bowl. WKU volleyball finished 35-23, winning both the Conference USA regular season and tournament titles. WKU men's basketball finished 22-12 this season, won the Conference USA championship, and returned to the NCAA tournament for the first time since 2013. Y'all need a slip so you can get a laugh. WKU, and this is impressive to me, WKU athletes boast a 3.18 average cumulative GPA, and 10 of the 14 sports programs have a cumulative GPA of 3.0 or higher. Our staff and faculty are doing some right things, and it shows in these metrics. And that's why I think this is so important for us to recognize. As far as our campus improvements are concerned, we dedicated this through this last year. We dedicated our new softball soccer complex and broke ground on the Hilltop Field House and press box. We are continuing to advance to renovate Cherry Hall, Gordon Ford Business College. We've watched that, and we're all just tickled to death with that 113,000 square foot facility. And Jennifer, we received the largest capital project appropriation from the state in WKU history, this $160 million to replace the academic complex that you told us about. WKU is on the move, and it's going in the right direction. And we all recognize that, and we are proud of our faculty and staff for what they have accomplished during this past academic year. All right. On Monday, you will be receiving an email, which is the self-assessment that comes out every year. I just wanted you to be aware of it. Please complete that within the time allotted, and we will discuss that at the retreat. We have three regents that I want to recognize at this time. Regent Linda Ball, who's with us by Zoom today, has been a regent since 2016, and this will be her last official board meeting. We hope to see her a little bit later on in the year. Regent David Brinkley has likewise served for 6 years, from 2018 through 2024. He's going to appear, I think, by Zoom next time, according to comments I heard earlier. We appreciate the council and good information that you folks have brought to this board. We appreciate the timely questions, the delving questions, and your contribution to the Board of Regents. This is a singular honor for you to serve in this capacity, and this has been laudable service by both of you regents. And on behalf of the Board of Regents, we want to thank you for that. We have our staff regent, Sam Kurtz. This is his last official visit for this term, But Sam won the election, and he'll be with us again next year. So it's not our end for him. He'll be back with us again next year. So we're going to be happy to have Sam back with us again, Regent Curtis. Our president, Gaboni, has a couple of awards he would like to make, and Regent Ball, we hope to be able to make yours when we see you again.
Thank you.
Well, to each of you, I want to say thank you. This job is challenging and rewarding, but it's made easier when you have a good board of regents. And I can tell you, I have friends who are presidents and work with boards that are not like this one. You all are engaged and committed, and I'm thankful for the work. And Linda, it feels like just yesterday I was up at the dealership walking through what a decentralized budget model would be. And goodness gracious, haven't we made progress? And to David, thank you for your good counsel. The staff and faculty regent play a bit of a different role than our appointed regents. And they have internal constituencies they represent. David, in the past 6 years, you've done a tremendous job representing the staff on this campus. And one of the reasons we've been able to make the progress for them is because of your advocacy. And lastly, I want to thank you as well for your leadership of our public media. We're in a tremendous spot as a university. It's an important feather in our university's cap. It's been a fun 6 years. And congratulations on your retirement. Well-deserved. Go fishing. Go be with your family. Go do all the things that most folks can't do.
Appreciate it.
And for Sam, congratulations on being a two-time Student Government Association president. We're going to get that spring tailgate to happen.
Possibly.
Again, this year. Next year. So, Sam, I appreciate both your leadership, the way in which you represented the student body, but also I want to thank you for keeping SGA focused on students and not politics and external efforts. You have led in some challenging times, and you've done it with grace and aplomb. So congratulations.
Thank you.
For you.
Does anyone else have any comments or that they would like to make at this time?
Since it's not their last meeting, I reserve the right to do that in the June meeting. They'll be on Zoom, but still. Let's not sing his accolades until we're done listening to his last point.
It's more a big sigh of relief.
All right. Is there anything further that we need to take up today? CJ, we're trying to get you out to your 2 o'clock thing.
Thank you.
Hearing nothing further, if we have nothing to take up, this meeting stands adjourned.